reading. My scripture reading is considerably shorter than the one we just had. Is in Matthew 6, 22, 23. We're in the middle of a section here, if you recall, the latter part of chapter 6, where Jesus is preaching on anxiety. And in this section, he's going through anxiety factors, causes, things that cause us anxiety. And we looked at the first one a couple weeks ago, treasures of this earth. And so we're looking at the second one, which is in Matthew 6, 22, 23. Next week, we'll look at the third one before moving into solutions. So this is Matthew 6, 22, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, if then light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Thus far, God's word. Let's pray. As we come to, Lord, this section in the Sermon on the Mount, where you are dealing with anxieties, worries, it's something we all can relate to. We can understand. A couple of weeks ago, Lord, we looked at understanding that putting up treasures in heaven is much better for us spiritually than treasures on earth, which cause anxiety and worry. And today, Lord, we're going to look at what we see and how that affects us and how that can cause anxiety and worry. So, Lord, I pray that we'd understand it and apply it and think it through. For, Lord, you want us not to live in fear or worry or anxiety, but rather in peace, joy, patience, kindness, in the confidence that the one who has redeemed us is sovereign. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I think to a pretty large degree, many of us think about the future, immediate or otherwise. What's going to happen this week, this month, this year? In recent months, it's been really kind of, don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. Typically though, in other times, we might think long-term. As a society, where will we be in 10 years, 20 years, or beyond in the future? I think there's always that tendency as the human race to speculate or wonder about what the future will be like. And I think that we can, of course, go in one of two directions. We can either look at the future and sort of see nothing but gray clouds and dark skies, sort of a dystopian view of the future, or we might have more of an optimistic view of the future, a utopian. A utopian is one that's filled with hope, promise. Technological innovations will make the future much brighter and exciting. Our planet, humanity, will all be in harmony. The quality of life is just going to get better and better as the future progresses. For example, the TV series, and I think somewhat the movie series as well, Star Trek, manifests sort of a picture of a much more advanced society, technological future with interstellar space travel and society, you know, not even needing money anymore. We've evolved beyond that in some regard. There's entrepreneurs in our day and age today, like Elon Musk, who communicate wonderful visions of the future, where we can figure out a way to get from London to Tokyo in a matter of hours. We can have colonies on Mars and make advancements in transportation like no other. I think those are interesting things and wishful utopian ideas, but I don't think it's the dominant one. We can have a conversation about this, if you will. I think more, especially today, what captivates our minds is a dystopian view, that the future does not look bright. It looks like it could at any moment maybe descend into chaos, get worse. Pollution seems like a reality, instability, humanity. And Hollywood, by the way, makes a lot of money on this view with disaster movie after alien invasion and monsters or whatever it is you want to come up with that depicts the future, with humanity struggling under some new reality that shows a world that's bleak. And this sort of how we view the future affects even our day today. Let me just ask you a very simple question. What is your vision of the future? How do you view the future? What does it look like? You know, it was funny thinking about growing up in the 1980s and 90s as I did. things, I think, at that time were on a positive trajectory. I think overall, when I look back, I felt like the future was positive, was going in a great direction. But talking to my 20-year-olds, my children, and I asked them about how they feel like things are looking like in the future today, they're not so sure about tomorrow. They're kind of a little bit more more pessimistic, if you will, which is sort of weird in the sense I always think of young people as being more optimistic. But maybe, just maybe, what should affect our vision of the future is not necessarily our surroundings, but a biblical view of the future, which is inspired through Scripture. Now, why I say this is because here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to look at, literally, what we look at. What are we looking at? What are we spending our time at? As I've mentioned, this is in a section where we're dealing with anxiety. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now that is pointing back to the verses before. If there's a therefore, we should say it is there for something. It's pointing back, I think it's a summation of the section before it in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So he's been talking about anxiety. And following that, by the way, we'll talk about some of the cures of anxiety. But in verses 19 and 24, he's been going through this section of anxiety, as I've mentioned already. We talked about treasures on earth. Now we're talking about our eyes, our vision. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. Now to understand what he's saying here, we need, of course, look somewhat at the Greek and unpack this phrase. Our eyes help us to see. The way he's speaking about this is they are illuminated. Whatever it is that we are gazing upon or looking at, it will affect us as a person. In other words, what we gaze upon affects us in some way. I like this quote from E. Stanley Jones on his sermon from this on this passage. He says it like this, what gets your attention gets you. Let me say it again, what gets your attention gets you. What we gaze upon, if it's good, if it's beneficial, it helps, it's a blessing. It helps us see more clearly, it's light. But if what we gaze upon is not good, it hurts us. It's like darkness. It doesn't allow us to see clearly. It matters what we fix our eyes on us, where our attention is. Our eyes are like our heart. Our heart can be affected by the treasures that we store up. It's an indicator of our spiritual condition. It can lead to anxiety and to not having peace. If we fix our heart on the treasures of the earth, it will bring anxiety. If we fix on heavenly treasures, it will bring peace. If we fix our eyes on light, it will bring peace. If we fix our eyes in darkness, it will bring anxiety and worry. Now, we are naturally more anxious when we can't see. Am I not right? Don't believe me? Just if you don't believe that you're not more anxious in the darkness, just try this the next time you're out driving. Close your eyes. See what happens. See if you become a little bit more anxious or worried. Actually, that's not a good idea. Don't do that. Danielle Newman, who works at DMV, would say that's not a good thing to do. I'm sure anyone who does it on their test would fail like that. All right? So don't do that. The fact is, when we shut our eyes and we then see only darkness, does that not make us more anxious or worried? Now, this idea of our hearts and our eyes, what they take in and how it affects us, is something that's in view in Psalm 119. Our eyes, our hearts, are seen in the same way, how they are affected. The psalmist writes this, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep their testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. That's good. Who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways, who have commanded your precepts to keep it diligently. On that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, that I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed in all your commandments. The psalmist there makes it clear. It matters where our hearts are and where our eyes are. Where are they and what are they on? What are they focused on? If your heart is impacted by the treasures that you possess, your eyes are impacted by what gets your attention and what you gaze upon. Jesus says it like this later in verse 22. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If we are what we eat, then you could also say we are what we see. And Jesus concludes by then saying, if then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If you let in darkness, It will be large. It will affect you. It will cause, you will literally be filled with darkness. A person filled with darkness who can't see, who eyes are not healthy, is that not a person, a definition of someone who's anxious, worried? Some of us maybe fear losing our sight. Others concern as our eyes begin maybe to deteriorate. If we find ourselves devoid of light and complete darkness, does that not cause us some degree of anxiety or fear? Jesus is warning us. What we gaze upon affects us. It will cause worry and anxiety later on. Now, this isn't that complicated, is it? So we can move quickly into application. We know that sometimes we can look at a bank statement, a credit card statement, and it reveals a lot about what we value, what we look at. You know, that's kind of what I think the point is of the earlier section about treasures on earth. The same could be true as well as we look at your screen time on your computer or what you watch, what you look at, what you gaze upon. Just ask yourself, what do you feel like you spend the most time looking at? What do you like, enjoy reading and taking in on a regular basis? Does it bless or does it curse? Does it fill you with light or darkness? Remembering that darkness brings anxiety and worry. I mean, I'll give you an example even for me personally. I know for me, I don't really have a tolerance or ability to watch news outlets endlessly on television or whatnot. Sometimes I do when a major event happens, you know, something's unfolding, there's all this breaking news. And so, you know, we'll put the TV on and we'll just be listening on, you know, as updates are coming in. But I don't know about you, but after a while, even in those circumstances, I have to turn the TV off. It's just not beneficial. I find myself, I should probably be praying. I could think of other things I could be doing that might be beneficial for my time than to simply keep taking in the anxieties and worries and concerns. What we see affects our vision. Every one of you has a vision, a perspective of life that you cultivate. It's where you go. It's where you think. It's what you think of the future, what's informed by light or darkness. What we look at, and we got to be more careful in what we look at. A couple years ago, you all know I've been messing around with this Jeep. I've kind of gone off a cliff the last couple of weeks. I'm just so frustrated. But anyhow, I thought I was so close working on this thing, and I've now run into some serious roadblocks. But a lot of the work I've had to do on this thing in the past, I don't do it as much as well, is weld pieces, take the rust off, put the good stuff on. I've talked a little bit about that before. In early days, I went out and just bought a cheap welding helmet, you know, because I'm a cheapskate, whatever, you know, and doing that. And I was noticing, and I should have corrected this a long time ago, but I was noticing after I was welding, my eyes hurt. You know, they were feeling sore. I didn't feel well. Something was wrong. I kept thinking, what's going on? You know, and I, not being an expert welder, I didn't know if that was normal, not normal, whatever it was, so forth and so on. And finally, after the after the doctoral work was done and all of that, you know, I was getting back to getting it fixed. You know, I said to Allison, that's something I need to really check in on, because I know going back to doing it, I don't want to feel like that. So I went out. So we were running around and I went out and then we went to a welding supply store, whatever. And I got a professional welding helmet. This is made by Jackson or I don't know what it was. Anyhow, the guy at the store said, hey, this is what all the professionals use, right? I don't know if this is really true. But I ended up believing them. So, and I bought it, right? Okay, but I will say this. Ever since I've been using this, my eyes haven't hurt once. I haven't had any issue, any concern. The soreness, the pain, all of that, which has been associated in the past when I would weld, it's gone. I don't have any issues. I don't have any headaches or things or problems. And I think about the fact, gosh, why did I keep using that other one? I wasn't doing something good to my eyes, right? I mean, we gotta think about putting on a welding helmet if we can and be just much more concerned. Is what we are gazing upon harming us? Is it causing us worried, scared, anxiety? It was causing me some anxiety every time I got done welding, and I'm thinking, why did I not correct this? Why didn't I deal with this? Our vision of what then should we be looking at? What do we need to gaze upon, or what can help and correct us? Well, I think the most obvious one should be the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is maybe the most helpful thing at all. Gaining the vision of the Scriptures would do us all some good. What does our future look like? Read the Scriptures. We just had this wonderful passage written by Mr. Allen who was looking at this vision in Ezekiel, this wonderful vision of God bringing what was dead to life. Now, that's something that should encourage us. That's a passage that should really inspire us. Those are kind of the passages. We should look at what Scripture informs us of what God can do. That passage tells us God can take what is dead and bring to life. The Bible, the Word of God, should fuel our vision. And if we spend time in it, it will fill us with light, hope, promise. Just simply meditating on the promises of Scripture, meditating on the truth of Scripture, the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus, if you recall, is referred to as light. John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, referring to John, but came to bear witness about the light, who was Jesus. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. It couldn't be more clear, folks. Jesus, who is being referred to as light, is saying that we need to take in the light. We need to take him in. We need to gaze upon him. Taking in, of course, what else? What he has commanded us and taught us. Taking in what it means to be joy, peace, love, compassion, grace. We should also be thinking again, literally again, what do we gaze and look at? A couple weeks ago, I was FaceTiming, video chatting with John Smed, my mentor from Canada. He was on a personal retreat, something like that. He was up in the Canadian Rockies, and he was kind of being a little bit of a, he wasn't being a jerk, but he was wanting to tempt me, saying, he wanted to make me jealous is what he was, because that's why he wanted to FaceTime. I was like, why aren't we talking on the phone? He goes, no, I want to FaceTime. I'm like, why does he want to FaceTime? Well, I know it, because he turned the FaceTime, the video on. He shows me he's hiking in the Canadian Rockies. It's like a mountain stream. Just know, I mean, it's like gorgeous. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular and whatnot. And he was out, you know, and of course he just, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember Canada's just gorgeous. It's just beautiful. He was in Canmore, Alberta, enjoying it. But he was doing it to worship, to lift up his soul. He'd been feeling somewhat discouraged and whatnot. So he went out for a hike, went out for a walk amongst God's creation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. God's creation can fill us at times with light. The world is saying that, but it can be more than that. It can be art and music, painting, sculptures, taking in things that point to the glory of God, that bring joy, peace, and light. This is a real simple sermon. In fact, I'm going to keep it a little bit short because it's just not complicated. Jesus doesn't make it complicated. If we fill ourselves with darkness, it brings anxiety and worry. If we dwell in the light, and the light being Jesus Christ, it will bring peace. The Apostle Paul understood what Jesus was speaking about, and I believe in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, when he himself is talking about anxiety and how to deal with anxiety, I am certain as Paul writes these words, Matthew 6, 22 and 23 were on his mind when he wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellences, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Gaze upon these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I urge you today, consider what your eyes take in, for Jesus Christ does not want us to worry. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you do not make what it means to follow you complicated. You don't make it difficult. You teach us clearly. You use images like light, darkness, to tell us that what we take in, what we view, what we see, how we look at the future, our vision affects who we are on a daily basis. So forgive us, Lord, in ways in which where we take in darkness, where we allow that to come in and cause worry and anxieties and fears, and help us to dwell in the light. Lord, you yourself was described as light in the Gospel of John. Lord, may we take you in more and more in your promises and your word, being filled by not the world's view of the world, but by what you have revealed to us in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is, what is it, Matthew, before I flip over?
Holy Spirit.
There we go. Thank you. Please stand as you are able.